Well, it had been a really nice evening dining with friends in a pub a short distance away, and then coming out and finding the car with a puncture. Never mind, we can ring roadside assistance. Sorry, sir, your MOT elapsed last week. We can't help you. I have had that fixed, actually. I was cross. I have a maintenance contract with a garage who should have notified me. My good friend suggested first that we pray. We did. We pumped up the tyre and we got home safely. But I was cross. I was impatient, but not rude. Impatient with the breakdown service, impatient with the garage, and most of all, impatient with myself. By the way, my friend said, what is it you're speaking on in the current series? Patience, I said. They laughed. My own patience, therefore, offers me no qualification to speak on that subject this morning. But stay with me, because there is good news coming. Eugene Peterson compares patience with perseverance. And I thought, oh, good. That gives me a let-out clause. I don't have to talk about patience. I can talk about perseverance. Then I heard you say, sorry, Colin, tried that last week. Didn't last. So, there is good news coming. Four things for us this morning around patience. Patience is rooted in love. It is modeled by Jesus. It is part of the pilgrim's journey. And it's about God sticking with us. Patience is rooted in love. We're a week on from Valentine's Day, but I'm delighted that Jill and I still give each other cards. And we're careful around choosing the cards that we like to give each other. The shops tell us quite rightly that love is romantic, love is blue skies and red roses every day. But I couldn't and wouldn't find a card that records the words of Paul. Love is patient. Love is kind, it keeps no record of wrongs. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It keeps no record of my snoring at night, of my forgetting my door keys, of leaving dirty cups in the study. This record will be a long player, except there is no record. Love is patient. If we want more patience in our lives, pray for love. To be assured of God's patience for us and his perseverance for us, just know that God is the God of love. Love defines his character. God is patient with us. Love never fails. Patience is rooted in love. Patience is modeled by Jesus. Of course it is. Jesus shows the extent of his perseverance not to show us how it should be done, but to illustrate his character. Perseverance driven by love for his Father, for his enemies, for his friends, and for us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is reported as deeply distressed and troubled, and his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. His sweat is described as drops of blood. And yet, out of love for the Father, he prays, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. But not yet my will, but yours be done. This is the persevering Jesus. Later they crucified him, and Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. This is love that keeps no record of wrongs. There is no attempt to argue, no attempt to seek to justify what he's doing. just submission to the Father's will and persevering love. This is how Paul describes Jesus' patience with him. Paul writing to Timothy, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who believe on him and receive eternal life." Jesus' patience will never run out. Peter said the same thing. "He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish." I wonder what drove that perseverance. Love? Certainly. The writer to the Hebrews refers to Jesus' temptation and confirms that Jesus was without sin. Sometimes I look at that verse and it seems to be, you take it upon a criticism of ourselves. Well, Jesus didn't sin, so you don't either. But that's not the point. The verse is actually there to express how remarkable and wonderful it is that Jesus did not give up. He did not step back from his purposes. He did not step back from his love. He persevered. Love and the anticipated joy of a completed journey. For the joy is set before him, he endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So let's be encouraged, as Paul says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." Patience, rooted in love, modeled by Jesus, and thirdly, part of our journey. We are designed with the ability to persevere. It is part of our journey. The journey, however, is not the destination. So let's not begrudge the journey. Our son and daughter-in-law live in Manchester, and we enjoy seeing them. We do not always enjoy the journey. You cannot drive the M6 through Staffordshire without perseverance. What keeps us going is the expectation of the destination and a good brew. Northern phrase for a cup of tea. Paul understood the need for perseverance. He said, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen." These eternal promises are great, but I'm struggling here. I don't want to make light of people's difficulties, but I do believe that our experiences are purposed to build in us character, and they're creating in us strength. And though we may not realize it, we are actually being renewed day by day. Johnny last week was simply encouraging us, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. As long as the wheels are turning ever so slowly on the M6, I am getting nearer to the time when I will arrive. we have a greater capacity for perseverance than we realize. If we're sitting here this morning with a fear of being able to cope, then I actually want to encourage you, that fear itself is actually a sign of your determination to persevere. Jill and I have just recommenced our cardio tennis exercises, running around a tennis court every Monday evening. The first couple of weeks were very hard. Monday night's exercises followed by a week's stiffness. Jill would say, speak for yourself, she recovers in about a day. But 2 or 3 weeks on, the body gets used to it. It says, I've done this before. Olympic medals are not won on the racetrack or the rowing lake. They are won in the practice and the perseverance of training. Hill climbing is very hard the first time you try it, but through perseverance and plodding, it does become easier, along with the awareness that you are following a path that someone else has already trodden. It can be very hard facing issues that we faced before, and the anxieties creep in. We're back to square one. I said that to a friend once, that was how I was feeling. He said, no, keep going. Our path is sometimes a hill walk, but remember, you've already come a long way up. There have been steep bits you've conquered already. There may be further steep bits, but they're part of the journey. Don't be discouraged. As long as the wheels are turning and the car is moving, we are making progress. Whatever your motivation for being here this morning, the fact that we're here is that we're moving forward. So take heart. James wrote, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance is hard, but it's part of our maturing process, part of God's design for us. Paul says, perseverance, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Patience or perseverance is only learnt through practice. I hope David and Nessa recognize the picture of Gary Player, recognized as one of the greatest golfers of all time, winning 160 tournaments and 9 majors. Someone once described him as a lucky golfer, and he replied, I'll spare you the South African accent, well, that's funny, for you know, the more I practice, the luckier I get. Patience, perseverance can only be learnt through practice, and we have lifetime to practice it. The essence of Peterson's book is that we are pilgrims set on a journey that will take us to a room in God's house. That is our destination, where we will be mature and complete. The journey itself is not the destination. Let's not begrudge the journey. If I can quote from Peterson's book, obedience is not a stodgy plodding in the ruts of religion. It is a hopeful race towards God's promises. Perseverance is not resignation, putting up with things the way they are, staying in the same rut year after year, or being a doormat for people to wipe their feet on. Endurance is not a desperate hanging on, but a traveling from strength to strength. There is nothing fatigued or humdrum in Isaiah or Paul, nothing flat-footed in Jesus. Perseverance is triumphant and alive. It is part of our journey. Let's look forward to the destination and not begrudge the journey. Patience is rooted in love, modeled by Jesus, part of our journey. And I promise you the best bit, it is God sticking with us. If you want further encouragement to get hold of Peterson's book, then you'll find it on pages 126 and 127. The central reality for Christians is the personal, unalterable, persevering commitment God makes to us. Perseverance is not the result of our determination, it is the result of God's faithfulness. We survive in the faith not because we have extraordinary stamina, but because God is righteous, God sticks with us. If you can just read that on the screen, hopefully you can, just take a moment or so just to read that for yourselves. The central reality for Christians is the personal, unalterable, persevering commitment God makes to us. Perseverance is not the result of our determination. It is the result of God's faithfulness. We survive in the faith not because we have extraordinary stamina, but because God is righteous and God sticks with us. He goes on, Christian discipleship is a process of paying more and more attention to God's righteousness and less attention to our own. Finding the meaning in our lives not by probing our own moods and motives and morals, but by believing in God's will and purposes, making a map of the faithfulness of God, not charting the rise and fall of our enthusiasms. It is out of such a reality that we acquire perseverance. And so we come to Psalm 129, one of these psalms of ascents that the Israelites would chant as they make their way to the annual festival in Jerusalem. And it's a bit of a strange psalm because the Israelites are celebrating times when their ancestors and they themselves were being oppressed. They've kicked me around ever since I was young. This is how Israel tells it. They've kicked me around ever since I was young, but they never could keep me down. Their plowmen plowed long furrows up and down my back, but God wouldn't put up with it. He sticks with us. So there's a picture that although they've been kicked about, those feet that are kicking are no longer having impact. Those plows that have plowed into their backs are no longer attached. Why? Because God wouldn't put up with it. God sticks with us. Simon, a few weeks ago, began his sermon with the Beatles' hit Help. Well, let me refer you to Chumbawamba's hit from 1997. And I'm not going to sing it, but if you do know the tune, you're going to be singing it all day long. So sorry about that. I think the lyricist paid extra for this. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. You get the message. But I wonder if you're old enough to remember these characters, the Weebles. These lovely round-bottomed characters. Weebles wobble, but they won't fall down. I'm glad there are some people nodding. Paul would certainly have empathized with them. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because God sticks with us. The New Testament NIV version quotes verse 4 as, "The Lord is righteous." But the Lord is righteous, and the Lord will stick with us, are one and the same, because God keeps his promises. God promises, "We will come, I will never leave you or forsake you." He promises, "We will come to him and make our home with him." He promises, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He promises, "If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." I might refer you to a recent conversation between two prime ministers. You may have heard it. Questioning promises and laws. Let me assure us, God knows the promises he has made. God understands the promises he has made. God knows that the promises apply to him. He gets it. He sticks with us. But there are times, seemingly, that we lose sight of Jesus' authority. We know his authority at the beginning. We know he'll have the authority at the end. But we worry about the bit in the middle. Playing a football match. The team is winning at the start. You're confident in the result at the end. But there's a sense, do we need Jesus to come on and do something in the middle bit? That isn't scriptural. Jesus dying on the cross said, "It is finished." If we're Christians this morning, the promise is God sticks with us. No ifs, no buts. He is righteous. Take a journey through Hebrews. It reminds us at the start of Jesus' supremacy, Jesus sustaining all things by his powerful word. Reading on, we're reminded that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. There's the explanation of the new covenant. I will be their God and they will be my people. They're the examples of faith of the Old Testament heroes. And then the exhortation to us. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Patience, rooted in love, modeled by Jesus, part of our journey, and God sticking with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are so patient with us, that you invite us to come as your children. Lord, that you know us through and through, and you stick with us. Lord, I just pray that that encouragement, as it's encouraged me in preparing this, would be real for us, whatever we go into this week. Lord, that we may rely more and more on your love and your perseverance for us. Thank you that your perseverance took you to the cross and redeemed us. Thank you that we can share that through communion. We'll do so later. We bless your name. Amen.